Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above. And as you can see today, I have my friends Pia and Colin with us. They're going to share with us what is going on with the Pleiadian astrology or Pleiadian Earth astrology and calendar. Good morning, Pia and Colin. Welcome.
Good morning, Janet. Always delightful to be with you and your group.
Our crew.
Yes.
And, you know, our crew was Johnny on the spot this morning. We had Debbie checking in, Susie Gemini checking in, J-Lo checking in, Pam checking in. They're all Johnny on the spot this morning. And they're basically just saying hello. Happy Good Friday. It is Good Friday. Totally forgot about that. They're saying Grand Rising. Nico, good morning. And Pam says, J-Lo, Grand Rising Astro Design Tribe. I love how she puts words together. So how are things in your world?
As chaotic as the rest of the world is. It's unpredictable and chaotic and surprisingly beautiful in the midst of chaos at times.
We're having spontaneous, little joyful, little ecstatic moments that are popping up that seem to be making all of the chaos and all of the confusion, all the frustrations, not quite as important as we thought they were. So actually, we're living in a pretty good place.
That's awesome. And you know, we're all living in a pretty good place. I just think it depends on how you view it. Like, you know, we get to choose how it is that we're going to respond to whatever it is that is showing up in our lives, whether it's something that someone else is doing that's affecting us, or whether it's something that's happening within our own selves, our own families. We get to choose how it is that we're going to show up in that. And that to me sounds so empowering, doesn't it? To be able to be the one who chooses how we're going to show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that can be empowering right now is the choices that we make and how we view what's going on and our choices involved.
And it's amazing. Last week, my husband and I, we went away to Idaho. And I don't know that you guys got to hear the story, but while we were gone, we meandered into this shop in this little town called Wallace in Idaho, like population 960. That's what the sign says. And so it's this little podunk town. And I walk in and we end up meeting a woman who also lost her son at about the same age that I lost my Brian. And only she had lost him a couple of years before. And she starts telling me about her friend who is a medium, who just spontaneously became that way after Leslie lost her son. And I was so enamored. I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a great story about how, you know, her son Brady was able to bring across messages. Well, then the next day, Terry and I had promised we'll come back the next day. We go in and we visit her again. And her friend Lisa is there. Lisa, the one who's discovered she's a medium. And the story, I mean, is just so amazing how this all happens, right? Well, last night I happened to be talking to Lisa, the medium, because I was trying to connect her with my daughter, who's also trying to becoming a medium herself. Oh gosh, hold on. I forgot to plug my computer in this morning. Woo! Saved by the battery. Anyway, so I wanted her to talk to my daughter about, you know, being that, having that skill, talent. And she said, you know, your son also came to me a week before you came here. And what we finally figure out is that at the moment I made the decision, I actually made the reservations to go there, Brian actually came to her. She did not know who he was. She just knew he was this, you know, handsome young guy standing outside of her window, kind of waiting to see if she would see him. She sees him and says, hi, what, you know, tell me what you're doing. What can I do? And ends up knowing that somebody at some point is going to come into her life that he's going to fit with. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then when we actually came into the store that day and met her, it was like old home week. Like we had known each other all of our lives. It was just amazing. So magical, mystical, et cetera. Right. And, she continues to send us messages from Brian, but then all of a sudden we are also getting messages, every one of us, from Brian. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me because, you know, we miss him so much. And he's not really gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So amazing things. And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, people out there that need to hear things like this because they're hurting from losing so many people, lost loved ones during the COVID crisis, or, you know, for whatever reason that people were dying by the thousands, it seemed at the time. And I think it's just such a beautiful message that life goes on, that, you know, this is just one phase that we're in, and that there are many other phases that we could be in. And oh my gosh, look at all the people joining in. We see Elisa, good morning, and Christine, and Gayla, and Natasha, good morning, and Kamal, nice to see you. Tom, hello. He said, Astro family, I so early. Sigh, I'm here so early. He's in 3 hours ahead of me. 11 o'clock, Tom, for God's sakes, get up. It's early for us, for me. I don't know what it's nighttime for you guys, right? Or 6 o'clock or something in the evening.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh gosh, Tom. Well, we're glad you're all here with us this morning. And I want to turn it over to Pia now, because today is the 13 breathing. So tell us about that. Tell us about today.
We will. We'll tell you about that. But first, we'd like to address the fact that it's Friday the 13th. It may not be 13.
I'm like, wait, it's the 15th.
On the Gregorian calendar, but it is a Friday, and it is 13 universal energy. So we can claim that lucky women's number, that divine feminine energy of being Friday the 13th in the Pleiadian energy system.
I love it.
13 is the point of integration, where we integrate everything that has happened for the last 13 days, the 12 days prior to that, preparing ourselves to enter into another cycle. And because today's earth energy is breathing, it's a real good supportive energy for that integration, because we can remember to exhale, breathe in when we're thinking about what we've gone through, and remember to exhale and let go of it as part of the preparation for what comes next.
I love it. And let's see, this week actually began with what, one devoting, right?
Yes. One devoting.
So tell us about what this whole week would have been about. What's that, you know, I always call it the umbrella energy. I think you call it the overlighting energy.
It's the energy that goes along with whatever else is happening during the 13-day period. So it's really been for the last 2 weeks. Devoting is a northern energy, and northern energies always give us the strength to meet challenges, which heaven knows there's enough of those going on right now. So being in a northern energy provides extra strength for us. Devoting energy in and of itself is about looking at what you're loyal to. Are you being devoted and loyal to the right things? And Larkma, our Pleiadian friends, always say,
da-da-da-da.
The highest loyalty is loyalty to
the truth.
Exactly. Yes.
Such a Capricorn thing to say, Colin.
We have to look at what we're loyal to. Are we staying in a dysfunctional relationship when our heart is telling us move on?
Are we in a job that we really don't like, that's not fulfilling, there's no joy in it, we're only filling up the hours there because they pay us to be there, but we're not expanding in it, we're not growing?
Are we sticking with friends that don't fulfill us anymore and we feel like we're wasting our time, but there's new sets of friends waiting to be enriched in our lives? We have to look at all of those things and examine our loyalty. So hopefully within the last 13 days, we've had some of those things come up so that we can look at them, choose what we want to be loyal and devoted to, and then integrate the last 13 days today as we hit the 13th energy.
So I want to ask a question, and this just came up. So one devoting was actually on April 3rd, right? So just to orient people to the calendar, the stupid calendar. So we start with one devoting energy. The next day is two illuminating. So how do we apply this idea of devotion and loyalty to the energy of two illuminating? Like, just give us a little, you know, little soundbite about how that applies to each of those days.
Well, that's a perfect synchronicity once again, because when we get a clear picture of what we really want to be loyal to, what we want to be really focusing on, going into illuminating energy is, guess what? We changed our thought process. We changed our whole picture of what is truly important to us. And now we have an illuminating energy that can light the way with this new change, with this new direction that we might be choosing.
That's the high road that Cullen's describing for illuminating energy, which is what I'm sure all of us took, the high road.
Of course, that's all we took.
The low road of that energy, of illuminating energy, can be full of drama. Lots of drama. So if we're not really paying attention to what we're devoted to and what we need to let go of, and that light comes streaming in, there's going to be a whole lot of drama around it.
So, and it's of the West, right? So illuminating energies in the West, isn't that like the place of endings anyway? Or
it's the place of bringing in things from the subconscious so that you know what to end and what to start over with. And then that feeds directly into the following day, which is choosing energy, which is a Southern energy for growth and evolution. So we look at what we're devoted and loyal to. We either act out the drama of it, or we let the light help us make the choices. And then the next day, we choose something that's a higher path for us. And then it unfolds through the whole 13 days.
So this is what we love about this calendar. Everything falls into place energetically because it's not about time, as most calendars are. The wonderful thing that we discovered is that each one of these new energies that comes in the next day, the next day, the next day, it fits together in a progression that helps us figure out the whole picture. It's one of those beautiful, beautiful synchronous situations that makes absolute sense and can help us guide our way.
The next 13 days have the same unfolding, the same thing that Cullen's talking about synchronistically just moving into the next area like we're supposed to. We start with listening energy, and listening energy is a Western energy that brings in what we need from the subconscious, from the other spheres. It brings in winds from the West. And either we listen to what we need to hear and pay attention to it, or we shut it out. And if we shut it out, it becomes a time of trouble because our challenges will smack us in the face. But if we listen to it and pay attention to really listening more, then it moves very nicely into the next energy, which is planting. On two, the next day will be two planting.
Yep, two planting.
What do we want to plant to move forward? And then the following day after that is moving energy. Okay, we've planted the seeds. Now how do we put them into movement? And so it goes through each 13-day period. They just unfold one on the other.
I love this conversation because so many people, including myself, you know, sometimes I'm looking at the day. Okay, so today is 13 breathing. We're at the end of the cycle. But how did I apply what was going on in the beginning? That's the part that I think we miss. So let's go back a couple of days. Today's 13 breathing. But let's go back to Tuesday, because Tuesday was the great Jupiter-Neptune conjunction. It was a highly emotional day. Lots of people experiencing lots of, you know, high peaks, low valleys in their relationships, but, you know, things in their own lives and things like that. So that day was a 10 catalyzing. So that's a day of manifesting, right?
Well, 10 is the energy of either challenge or manifestation, depending on whether you're doing your work. If you're not doing your work, everything's a challenge. If you're doing your work, you manifest through the challenge. You have the strength to move through it. You manifest something different. It's a very dualistic energy that totally depends on whether we're doing our work or not. And this particular 10 energy came on catalyzing day. Catalyzing is all about shaking everything up. So we had a real choice with that Jupiter high-low to also find a high-low in this system. Either we're going to do our work and we're going to manifest something better, or what is being catalyzed is going to force the shadows up to the top, all the challenges up to the top to work on them.
And that's exactly where the drama and the challenges, all of the stuff that maybe we haven't worked on or we haven't seen clearly, as Pia said, it will smack us in the face. And that's what happened on that day for many, many people.
I sort of
yes.
10 is the place that sort of gives you a report card in any system.
Okay.
In this 13 days, you do the first 9 days. And if you do your work, by the time you get to 10, it's going to be an easier day. You'll manifest things. But if you've been blocking the energies or resisting energies of those other 9 days and not doing aligning with what they offer you, you're going to hit challenges. So I see the 10 as a point of, have I done this my work this cycle or not? And then moving forward.
I like the idea of it being the report card day. Right, the grades are coming out. and you're going to get to see how well you've been, you know, consciously evolving through this energy. But again, that 10 catalyzing goes back to the one devoting in some way, right? It so does. What are we devoted to? What are we spending our, what are we loyal to? That type of thing. So
yes, it does. Absolutely. Okay.
It does. 10, the 10 can be a springboard. We can really, if as Pia has said, if we've done our work, if we've really looked at our shadows, we can springboard ourselves forward, not in time, but in understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge gift to use that to really move along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, then we go to 11, a lightning. So I see the progression now. That's the fun thing is that I'm like, oh, okay. So enlightening energy is bringing us that awareness, that super, you know, light bulb moment, right? Mm-hmm. And then we go into 12 being. Chance. Does that mean we get the opportunity to understand ourselves better or understand our motivations better? Being,
being is the beginning earth energy. It starts the cycle of 20 earth energies. So being is the place of beginning again in any present moment. So we get to that point where, okay, we can begin again. We have the chance to do it differently. We have the chance to start over. And the low side of that energy is, oh my gosh, I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected. I'm so lonely. I'm not doing a good job. That's the low side of that energy. So when you get to that 10 day and your report card comes up, you better use that enlightening energy to power yourself up so you can be ready.
Oh gosh, either that or when 13 breathing comes, you're going to be hyperventilating. Oh, that's great. I love that description. Thank you for telling us, you know, taking us through that. And then what would be the significance then of tomorrow's one listening occurring at the full moon?
Full moon, perfect time to allow the moon to stir our feeling state and listen to what we're thinking about what we feel, because it's in the thoughts about our feelings that we get stuck. That's where all the patterns hide. You know, that's where he said what to me. What does he mean by that? I really don't like that. Instead of what do I feel? What do I feel about what he said? Is that really true? Did he really mean to say something that disagrees with me so much? Or is it just a different perspective of the same thing? We have to listen to what our own thoughts are, as well as listening to what the other person is saying. And in the full moon, it's the perfect place for connection and the perfect place for really examining what we're thinking about what we're feeling.
It kind of sounds like listening dimensionally, like we have to listen through a deeper place, from a deeper place.
Right.
Absolutely.
Not just the words we hear, but like, well, what's the reverberation that I'm feeling going on? Yes. Maybe.
Absolutely. Yes. Well said.
Yeah. Lots of people now, again, joining us. We have Ursula. She said, fascinating, loyalty to truth. Susie Gemini says, truth. Absolutely. And Asa has joined us. Good morning, Asa. I'm glad you could be here. Erica Dorsey says, these last 13 days have been a whirlwind for me.
Hmm.
Now, would that be possible because, you know, we're all going to experience these energies differently, but does our own Pleiadian earth energy kind of modify how we experience the weeks?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Because if you look at devoting, the energy that overlighted the last 13 days, it's a northern energy. If you've got a southern personality, then you're going to perceive it as being more challenging than someone with a northern personality. Someone with a northern personality will say, ah, this is my energy. It's empowering me to meet all these challenges. Somebody with a southern energy is going to be diametrically opposed to the energy, so they will feel more like it's not in alignment with them. Mm. So there is a definite difference in the directional energies, and each of the energies has a different direction.
Right.
And they also have energies that are compatible with them, energies that are confusing or mysterious, energies that are challenging, energies that are empowering. So if you feel where you are, what your personality is, it helps you know how you're going to interact with the 13 days. It's a bit like knowing what transits are happening in your Western astrology.
Right, right. That makes perfect sense. So run us down really quickly again what the directions refer to. So start with north again.
The northern energies refer to finding strength to move through your challenges. The Western energies have to do with pulling from subconscious, from source, from other realms that are not your typical everyday realm, pulling wisdom in to work with, feeling something to help you go in a different direction. That's the West. Southern energies are about growth, shining your light, growing and evolving into who you want to be. And Eastern energy is about new beginnings, staying in the present moment and remembering that you can start over again and over again and over again and be present in the moment instead of stuck in the future or the past. So there are five energies in each direction, depending on which person you are, what energy you are.
Yeah. And people can get that information through your book or through your website, right?
There's a new set of lectures going up on Vimeo, which will be up next week. And I go through in detail the different directions and which five are in which direction and how to work with them in the videos. So those videos will be available under Vimeo, which you'll be able to find on the website. It'll be on piaorlean.com.
Oh, okay, good. So let's put that website up for people, piaorlean.com. And now, okay.
No. So enter. When people understand their own makeup through this system and using the calendar, looking at each day can totally change how they see themselves, how they interact with their emotions, how they interact with other people, how they interact with all relationships. So combining the knowledge of what they are all about, and then applying that through the calendar on a daily basis changes their ability to see the whole picture, have an easier way to navigate their lives. It's an astounding combination of each individual makeup and the calendar in its entirety. It's an amazing system that can really help us figure out everything that makes our lives easier.
Navigate day to day in the daily energies and navigate the energies of other people so we can really understand and appreciate who they are energetically as well, rather than looking at our emotional reactions and responses to people, looking at them energetically, which is way more connective.
Now, going back to the directions, you said there are five for each direction, 20-day signs, five each, right? So let's say, what is today's, a northern day. Yep. Now, would other people born in other northern days, the other four northern days, have an easier time of it? Or would they be in resonance easier with that northern energy of breathing than, say, someone born in the opposite, the south energies?
Yes. Anybody who has a northern personality will be more in resonance with what the energy is in the northern period.
Okay. And the same then with the other signs, the wests, the souths, the easts, et cetera. Okay. Gotcha. So maybe, so there are days that are compatible with your sign, and they would be likely the ones that are from the same direction.
Yes.
And one thing I do when people request it is I do auspicious dates for people. I've helped people get married. I've helped people find dates to go to court. I help people find auspicious dates for certain things by looking at their personal energy, the evolutionary guidance energy, their universal energy, the 13-day period energy, and their personality energy. So I put it all together for them and then give them an outline of these are the most auspicious dates and avoid these dates like everything.
And it's amazing the feedback that we get when Pia does that. People are absolutely amazed. They will say pretty much the same thing. Everything worked so smoothly. I was so nervous about a job interview. Mm. I was so nervous about anything that's coming up that could make someone upset or just worrisome about things. Their feedback is, oh my God, this was so smooth. This was so perfect. I got my dream job. I didn't think they would like me enough to hire me.
And they did.
They did.
They like me. They really like me.
I also have stories, and this is sad, but sort of funny to hear from the other side. I have stories where I have said, don't do this during this time period. If you do, you will have challenges. I can't predict what they are, but you will be challenges. And one really good example of that is a woman who wanted to make a big trip. And she went to Africa, and I said, do not go during this period. The man that you want to connect with in Africa will not see you. I can see that with his energy and your energy. And there are other things I can't see, but something will go wrong. So she got there, and indeed the man said, I'm sorry, I can't see you, after she flew all the way to Africa from her country. And then on top of that, she broke her foot. She got sick with some local virus.
She it was had, a total
she
disaster.
She wrote to me and said, I should have listened to you. I'm having a really hard time. Can you help me?
Oh, my gosh.
Which I did. I helped her get home.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. Well, listen. It really makes a difference. So I'm thinking about that, you know, that I think I'm in the West. I am remembering energy. So that's Western energy. So the opposite would be the East, right? So Eastern days may be more challenging. Mm-hmm. But what about the North and the South? Are they easier, kind of compatible, or?
There's where you have two branches. If you're at a Western energy, then Southern energy is going to be more compatible for you. And Northern energy is going to be more mysterious or possibly confusing for you. Meaning you can go into the great mystery and have wonderful insights, or you might go into a fog and go, I don't know what I'm doing. But the Northern energies will do one of those for a person who carries Western personality energy. And I use the personality energy because that's where we function. We function on our personality. We grow through our evolutionary guidance, but our function every day is through the personality.
Asa saying she's Western too. Erica Dorsey, how would I know if I'm a Northern or Southern energy? I think that comes along with knowing. Does it come along with knowing the day? Is it in the calendar? I bet it is.
Well, right, it's for what she is. It tells you what days the directions are listed on the calendar by the Earth energy.
Yes.
So it shows that today is North and tomorrow is West. But if you want to know what energies you are, you either have to have a personal chart done, which I'm happy to do, which gives you 25 pages worth of all kinds of information, including an hour's consultation to ask questions, or you buy the book, Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology, look at the ephemeris and choose it yourself. So that's
the
choices. Yep. However, I do caution, if you want to do it yourself, do not use Gregorian timing where your birth date ends at midnight, because this system is not based on Gregorian timing. It's based on nature. So the cutoff time for changing energies is at sunset, wherever you live, not at midnight.
Right. Right. That's so important to pay attention to, because it is, it's more like human design in that way.
Where, it is.
The days, you know, the sunset, sunrise really drive the timing, and not, which is so much more natural than just arbitrarily picking midnight.
Right.
That is why the Gregorian calendar and other calendar systems simply don't work. They're just not accurate, because we don't know how they were designed, who figured it out in those particular systems, but they're simply not accurate. And I don't know what else I can say about it.
Yeah, they're mechanical, right? It's giving us this very linear view of time. And, you know, it aligns us with that more mechanistic, linear system,
Yes.
But life isn't linear or mechanistic. It's really more circular or spherical. That's what this calendar does for us, right? It brings us into that idea of the spiral or the consciousness, and it comes back around to itself. And it's just a completely different feel. There's something spiritual to it where there's no spirituality in the Gregorian calendar.
Exactly.
Yep. I can't look at, you know, today being April 15th, other than it's tax day and Good Friday is what it says here on the calendar. But that doesn't give me a real feel for who I am or where I am in my evolution of consciousness, where I can go to your calendar, the Pleiadian calendar that you've brought us. And I can see a sort of consciousness, an evolution. There's the word that's going on.
Yeah, it's a complete difference in depth because the way you describe the Gregorian calendar is mechanical. There's no depth. It's shallow. There's no essence of life.
Was any life in it because it's artificial. It's disconnected from nature.
Yeah, it's very mechanical and robotic almost. Like, yeah, we're going through the motions of this is Friday, yay, but it's the 15th of April, oh, and it's Good Friday, okay. But it doesn't really, like, I look at this, I see 13 breathing, and I'm like, oh, there's something here. So what is it about breathing? What is it about sharing? Wasn't it? Yes, 13 breathing. What is it about, you know, information that's on the wind or things that we're, you know, sharing with one another that is maybe related to, you know, going within? And, I mean, there's just so many other things that we could connect to it that I can't connect to April 15th.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So not, and that's not to say that the calendar doesn't have its uses. Like the Maya had, I don't know how many, 20 different calendars they used. That's a good calendar if you need to be at a court appearance on April 20th or, you know, be at an appointment, you know, at a certain day. It's good for that. But I think eventually we could even use this calendar as a day, as that kind of thing. Oh, I need to be there. I need to be, you know, at that family gathering tomorrow. What is tomorrow? One listening. So one listening is family day.
That's what we're hoping. Yes. Sharing this information will help change humanity, because if the energy is going to be positive for a certain activity, why not schedule something that will be smoother, more filled with flow, if we can do that? I mean, why not?
I agree. See, I'm excited because the full moon is in a Western energy. It's going to be a good day. That's funny. So let's see. Let's take a couple of comments here. Erica said, I had a friend from the past that I've cut out that is trying to reach out again. My body is repulsing her energy. Holy cow, you can't make this stuff up, people. probably speaking back to what was I loyal to, one devotion, that overlighting energy. Yeah. And I think they're talking too about the conjunction of Jupiter and Neptune, which, by the way, they're still in a conjunction. Today, they are at 24 degrees, 55 minutes for Jupiter, 24 degrees, 7 minutes for Neptune. Less than a degree apart. They're still in a conjunction. So we're still at the effect of that emotional Piscean energy helping us to release victim energy, right? The helping us to become more in tune, intuitive and imaginative, and being able to be more in command of our emotional selves, right? Not being reactive to everybody else's stimulus, but or even to things, you know, that we're putting out there, trying, you know, to understand that emotional energy is about response and not reaction. So thanks for sharing that, Erica. Susie says, I almost had a sad feeling that the next day felt so happy on the conjunction, sort of felt like the energy slipped away. I think there is a certain thing that happens when we have exact conjunctions or exact coming together of planets in a certain way, because it's been applying its pressure. So there's been this buildup of something, right? The buildup of the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction. Then we have the conjunction and it's like the apex point, and then it begins to slowly pull away. And so if we've been really in tune with that energy and that energy has really felt good, and, you know, then the next time then as it starts to move away, we might feel that part of us that's missing that apex feeling. So that's not unusual, especially in a sign like Pisces that is so emotionally connected. So let's see, anything else here? Asa, I'm so glad you made it, Asa. Susie says September 7th. What now? Fascinating. September, it keeps jumping because other comments are coming in. September 7th, but it is the 9th month. October 8th, but it's the 10th month. All mixed up in the Gregorian. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, she's talking about how September is a 7. I mean, the root of Sept is 7, but it's the 9th month in the Gregorian calendar, which makes no sense. Pam says, can you show a month of the calendar to see what it looks like compared to a regular calendar? Yes, I can. I'm going to, do you have your calendar handy with you?
I do.
All right. I'm going to see if I can't get you just to be the only one on the screen. That's picture in picture. I don't want that. I can't do that. Let's see if I can do that. And it's only me. Doggone it. Let's see if I can do it the other way. There. Well,
I'll go up to down so you can see it.
Yeah. So you can see, you know, the month here up in the top right corner or top left corner, I mean, is the.
Yeah, the big 12 here is the universal energy. The next day is 13. It also shows new moon. We're looking at the 1st of April.
Right.
At the bottom, you see loving energy, which is a south direction. So it says an S. And the next day is being energy, which is an east. And because this is a 13 here, it's the end of a cycle. So you'll see it's in a red box. And starting down here on devoting energy, you go into a green box, which shows we're starting a new 13-day period. So you have 13, one devoting, going all the way down to today's energy, which is 13 breathing.
Yep.
Kind of the point when this is backwards to me.
I know, but I have my cursor pointing at it. So hopefully they can see my cursor. Okay. Yeah.
And then we start tomorrow with a new one, which is blocked in by blue with the full moon showing. And then it goes to one, which is listening, which is the Western. And it goes all the way down till...
To evolving.
No, it goes all the way down to the 28th of April, which is 13.
Oh, the week you mean. Okay, yeah.
It goes down to 13 seeing. And then we start another one the next day in the yellow block. So that's all there. At the bottom, we also have the legend, universal energy, Gregorian energy, new moon, full moon, eclipse. All that information that's happening in our real world is also there, down at the bottom.
Yep, down at the bottom there.
And there are things in the back that are helpful that I'll show you. We have a schedule of full moons and new moons in the back of the calendar. We have a schedule of solar eclipses. Can you get that?
Move this way. Move this way.
Yep. Yep. So that's in the back there.
The calendar has 10 or 12 pages of explanatory information. It's not just a normal calendar. It's actually like a mini book included in the calendar.
Here's the universal energies with explanations of what they're used for.
Move it to your left a little bit, Pia. There we go. Universal energies. And if you lift it up, you'll see that all of the 20 energies are there. Or the earth energies are 20. There's 13.
13. Yep. All the way there. And then we have the earth energies here.
Yep. Again, to your left, just a titch. There you go. So now you can kind of see.
Start with being, and it goes all the way down to enlightening. And it shows appropriate use and inappropriate use of the energy. And then the next day, we have all the Venus phases, both the Venus star point changes and the phases of Venus changes.
Yes.
That's all listed here.
Which was very helpful over the last couple of months where Venus was changing every other day, it seemed like.
Yes. And then there's an explanation of the 13-day periods, how to best use the 13 days that we've been spending so much time talking about today.
Yeah.
So the 13-day periods are there.
Yeah.
And there's more stuff in there. There's a mini article in there, and there's a bunch of other stuff, but that's That's the basics. Colin's right. This is not just a calendar. It's a mini book.
It really is. And you can go to, is it on your website or do we have to go to LARCMA for that?
It's on the website, but I can tell everybody where they can find it the easiest right now. And that's at Book Depository. If you go to bookdepository.com, they ship anywhere in the world. And it's the easiest, quickest way to get it.
Bookdepository.com. Let's put that up for everybody. So if you haven't gotten it yet, you can certainly get a copy of the calendar. I have both my 2021 that you did as an 18-month calendar, and my 2022 is up on the wall. And I don't know what I was thinking putting it that far away because I can't really see that far with my glasses on. So now I'm like, what was that day? But luckily I have this copy for now anyway. Maybe I just need to buy another copy to keep in my my morning show book. anyway, thank you so much for those explanations, because I think, you know, we've done this before where we've talked about these things, but, you know, there's a lot of new listeners that have been coming in and maybe they're not as familiar. So it's really good to review. And Pam says, now I know what I want for a 2023 calendar. Don't wait for 2023, Pam. Get this one. Start getting into the habit of using it, right? That's the thing. Yeah. You got to, it's like changing your mindset in order to use it, because you're coming from a more multidimensional viewpoint as opposed to the flatness of the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, it's a study tool for changing your life. And exactly. When you're looking at Book Depository to find it, the name of it is 2022 Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar.
Another question from Amanda J. Can we get this in the UK? Would they be able to do that at Book Depository?
You can get it at deepbooks.co.uk in the UK.
Oh my God. Okay. Deep Books?
Yep. It's deep-books.co.uk.
.uk. Okay. So I'm going to put that up for everybody. And did I do that right?
That's perfect. Yep.
Deep Books. More than one book.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. So there you go, Amanda. You can get it there. And anybody else who might be in Europe, can they get it there too?
They can, but in Europe, they'll pay a hefty little duty tariff on it from getting it from England. So just go to Book Depository and you avoid that step of the tariff.
Okay. Oh, the whole European Union thing, right?
Yes. They've just levied a higher VAT tax, unfortunately. So things that come out of the UK to Europe are more expensive than they have ever been.
So best if you're in the UK to order it from Deep Books in the UK, best if you're in the EU or anywhere else in the world to get it from Book Depository.
Perfect. Perfect. So they've got two choices there. Because I know we have listeners that are here also from other countries in Europe. So usually Sweden. I get a lot of people from Sweden. It's so cool. Anyway, it might be Vinetta's friends. I don't know.
We have a lot of contacts with people that are friends and followers of our work in Sweden. So we also are familiar with the Swedish interest in our work.
I feel like sometimes, like, we have fractals, right? I notice it in human design often, a fractal of people that I attract that are often projectors or manifesting generators, which they're so different, but those are the two that I attract the most for readings. But I also seem to get a lot of requests from the, what were the Slavic countries, Bulgaria, Latvia, Serbia. There, I got one the other day and I've totally forgot it was a country, Moldova or Moldavia or something like that. I'm like,
yes.
Wow. Right. So all of that, I am so Croatia. And Hungary, I'm like, wow, what are, you know, there's this block of people and they seem to want to know more about astrology. So they somehow find me. It's weird.
there's a huge interest in Eastern Europe for anything that has to do with body, mind, spirit, growth, spirituality. And Dia and I have watched this over the years. Those countries were so restricted for so long that they weren't allowed to buy or be involved in these subject matters. And now they are. And it's the growth spurt there in Eastern Europe is tremendous at this time.
Yeah, that's great. You know, expansion. Kamal is paying you a compliment, Miss Pia. He loves your hair the way you're wearing it. And he's from Pakistan, so I'm assuming from Pakistan, Book Depository, perhaps.
Yes, from Pakistan. Yes. Pakistan, we had a friend from Pakistan who informed me that my name in Pakistan was Beloved. It means she who is beloved.
Oh, my gosh.
You agree with, but we did have a Pakistani friend who told us that.
That's wonderful. I love that. So maybe, Kamal, you can validate that for us. Any other questions? Let me look at that before I switch over to talk about some astrology, because I'm really excited about something I want to share. Okay. No other questions. Wow. Okay. I think we're okay. If I missed your question, go ahead and type it in again for me, because it might've scrolled by and I missed it, but let's transition over to a bit about the astrology for the weekend. And one of the things, of course, is the biggest thing for the weekend is the full moon, which, by the way, this morning I got a shot of the moon as it was setting. And, you know, that's the thing, right? The sun and the moon are at opposition. So if the sun is rising, then the moon is setting, right? That's the full moon. And the full moon will rise when the sun is setting. So they're always there at opposite points. So I got this really great picture this morning of the moon setting. Because it would have just been setting ahead of the sun rising. It was like 10 to 6 in the morning. I'm out there barefoot in 30 degrees to get this picture. But it was so beautiful because it's picking up this orange reflection of the sun. It was just stellar. I'll have to post that for everybody. So it was a great reminder that this is a time where we are in an opposition of our personality, ego, outer world self with our more inward spiritual self, our more emotional self. And at a time when we have them in opposition to one another, it's a time for us to come to completion or to end something or to have a sort of revelatory moment where something like, aha, the lights are on, very illuminating time with both of these luminaries holding this balance for us. So we have this full moon that we're walking into, and it's a pretty powerful full moon across Aries and Libra. So it'll have a lot to do with self and others, right? Because the Aries sun is about the I am, right? That's you, my personality, how I see things, my body, self-sufficiency, self-awareness, all of that. With the moon in Libra, which is the we are, right? So this is the others, the point, the Libra point of relationships. And so we're finding some kind of balance in our relationships. And I can't remember if it was you, Susie, or Pam, somebody that was out there had, you know, this upset in this relationship. And likely, you know, it was out of balance or out of harmony in some way. And sometimes the moon comes along and can bring back something kind of like a little test. Is this what you really want? Mm-hmm. Did you really want to break off this relationship or bring it back to us? Because maybe we want to re-embrace that relationship, or sometimes it's just hands down some kind of an ending. Either way you look at it, it's a pretty positive thing because you have all of these people in your life, i.e. your relationships, right? Brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, mom, dad, friends, colleagues, coworkers that are your mirrors. So if you really want to see how you are doing, you have all of these mirrors that are there to tell you how you are doing. If you're seeing all this awesomeness, then yes, you're doing great. And if you're seeing some trouble or challenges, then that's a call for you to bring more love and more light to whatever it is that you are experiencing and to take responsibility for it. It's not the person's problem, right? It's not your friend's problem that you had this blowout or this breakup. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong either. I'm just saying, you know, to be responsible is to take a look in that mirror and what is that person showing you about you? Maybe it was all about you, Susie, or whomever what that was, not having good boundaries, right? And this person might have been walking all over you. And that gave you the opportunity to course correct, bring in some boundaries or bring in some balance for yourself. So even when it doesn't look so good out there, it is really about what does that mean for me? What is it showing me about me? The full moon really gives us that opportunity to look at that. Now, the full moon today or tomorrow is actually happening when Jupiter and Neptune are still very close in conjunction. So we still have that opportunity to really embody more spirit, more of our divine self, to really get on a very strong divine footing in your physical body. This isn't about you looking to your spirit and, you know, yearning to get out of the body. A lot of people do that, you know, the whole ascension thing in the world, that, you know, big buzzword ascension was all about, you know, somehow we were going to lift off and we were going to join into 5D and we were going somewhere. No, it's about embodying those qualities here. You're on this planet in this 3D world. Bring it in and be it here and enjoy the experience that you're in. So Jupiter and Neptune really bringing us that opportunity to be embodied spirits, to be that love and trust and surrendering, faith-filled person here on the planet. But there's also a square to Pluto. I kind of highlighted it here. I don't know if it'll show up really well. I did it in green. So you see, this is the full moon. Here's the sun and the moon is down here. I did it in green. And then over here is Pluto. So it looks like a T, right? If I turned it this way, you would see it's a T. So i.e. a T square. So there's a lot of challenging energy possible here in terms of transforming, because Pluto is death and rebirth, right? It is about that regeneration process, letting go of something in order to make room for something new. That's very full moon, right? Very full moon. So Pluto and a square, we're being challenged. There's some tension, something rubbing at us that we might need to let go of in order to fully embody this new energy. And, you know, I think with the full moon at one listening, it's perfect because we can listen from a deeper place. Not just what are our ears hearing, but what are we sensing with all of the different senses? And by the way, Jupiter and Neptune highlighting our intuition, right? Our knowingness that defies logic, defies all the practical kinds of parts of our mind and bypasses that in favor of knowingness or intuition. So we should all kind of be feeling very intuitively inclined right now. And then as well, I noticed that Uranus and Mercury are in a pretty close conjunction during the full moon. That can be very inspirational, but it can also highlight those mental processes that keep us locked into old thoughts, into ways of being that are not necessarily, you know, good for us, like circumventing the spirit or intuition in favor of the mind. So those two in a conjunction, they're 2 degrees apart. So it's not like as powerful as Jupiter and Neptune in their conjunction. And Uranus would possibly help us liberate ourselves from the chains of the mind. So I like the way that that feels. I like the way that that looks here. But the big thing I wanted to talk about that totally went unnoticed for me is that the black moon Lilith has made a move. She is now out of Gemini and into the sign of Cancer. Now, the black moon Lilith represents your inner shadow, kind of the part of you that's either being exposed or empowered, right? So somehow there's this thing that's coming up for us that we have to look at in ourselves. It can also sometimes be where we draw the line, like where we pull ourselves back from, don't cross this line kind of thing. It can represent our primary fear or the block that we have that undermines us in this life. And right now I'm talking about the natal expression of it for you. It can also be how we judge ourselves or how we judge others. And now with it moving for the collective into the sign of Cancer, what we're looking at is embodying the divine feminine, right? We moved out of the Gemini masculine energy of the mind into the more emotional feminine energy, the maternal, the nurturing, the caring, the thriving by taking care, right, of one another. The other side of the coin is about becoming overly sacrificial or overly sacrificing of ourselves, of our time, of our money, of our energy by overgiving. So for the next 9 months or so, the collective will be grappling with this idea of self-sacrifice. Like, where am I giving myself away? And instead, I have to bring that into balance with self-care and self-nurturing while I'm also caring for others or nurturing others. So a nice balance coming in. But there's a fear here, right? The collective fear here is about the fear of abandonment. Mm-hmm. And I think for people who are out there who have experienced abandonment in their life in any kind of way, whether it was through a parent or a spouse or a good friend or what have you, this fear is going to be triggered collectively for us. And sometimes what we do is we go over the top, right? Where we try to manipulate people into needing us so that we won't be abandoned. There will be this person who will always need us, or I will always need them. So that becomes codependence or overly dependent on somebody. So that would be taking us into the more negative expression, the shadow. So this is the shadow that is within the collective that we are addressing. And so wherever Cancer is in your astrology chart is the house where this will be playing out. So Cancer is in my first house. So for me, I'm going to be taking a look at where is this in my own personality. I was abandoned when I was a baby. So I know I have those issues somewhere. So how am I abandoning myself at times, right? I've got to look at that in myself. Where am I overly giving? Where am I not feeling good enough? And all of those kinds of things. If you have it in a house like the relationship house, the seventh house, or maybe even the fifth house, where are you giving yourself too much away in those relationships? If Cancer's on your fifth house, where am I giving too much to my kids, right? Where am I giving too much of myself might be the thing that you are doing. And then look at, why am I doing that? What is the bang for my buck? What is the shadow that's driving that? So we have 9 months to look at that, but it's something that just like popped in for me this morning that I really wanted to share with all of you. And interesting that it would pop up and happen right around the same time that we're dealing with a full moon, a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, a square to Pluto, which gives us the opportunity to change ourselves. It's like I couldn't plan these things, but apparently some divine force has. All right, let's see. J-Lo says, you can say that again, Janet. I am seeing it with others and I cannot help it. It is all theirs to do the work, right? There is that. 9 months is a birthing process. That has never been lost on me, J-Lo, that the Black Moon Lilith, the shadow, is a 9-month trek through each sign. So for the next 9 months, we get to work with this. And it's a birth, like what's being seeded now that can come into fullness 9 months from now. And of course, it goes without saying, you also have to note where your own personal Black Moon Lilith is. If you have your own personal Black Moon Lilith in Cancer, then this is a time it's returning and you have a new opportunity to really embrace letting go of this fear of abandonment. And, you know, any other sign, you're going to have maybe a reading, or there's some pretty good sources. If you Google Black Moon Lilith and then put astrology, you'll get that information perhaps for yourself. So it's going to be a great weekend. We have the full moon allowing us to release, to let go, to have some form of revelation or aha moment, an epiphany, to be able to connect with new energy. And I think we can't get better than that. Susie has Black Moon Lilith in Scorpio. Well, Scorpio, a fellow water sign to Cancer. The emotions around the Black Moon Lilith in Scorpio are about winning and losing, death and loss versus gaining something. So winning and losing, a big deal. Death and rebirth, a big deal. So you can look more up on that too. Pam Zaruba says fifth. And North Node. So fifth house, Black Moon Lilith, and also the North Node there. So a fifth house, Black Moon Lilith, depending on the sign, would be addressing where it is you're too afraid to let go of maybe things that have stopped you from being creative, where you might be holding on too much to your children, or where you've, you know, sort of ignored that real creative part of yourself. Your North Node would suggest that that's exactly where you need to go, toward the creative part of yourself, toward some taking some risks, right? The risky part of yourself. I call them calculated risks because I don't like the idea. That's my personal view. But, you know, you don't want to give away the farm if you don't have any way of buying another farm, right? So you have to be careful about the risks that you take. You have to be willing to say, to risk, if you're going to risk it all, you have to be willing to let it go and not be scared to let it go. Otherwise, you're going to get to the worst of what that is, which is loss. And oh my God, now what am I going to do? So calculated risks, right? If I'm going to go to a casino, I have $100, I can spend $100 without, you know, risking a bankruptcy kind of thing, right? So I'm going to be calculated in the risks that I take. So Pam, that's what's up for you. Anyway, that unbelievably is already 9 o'clock, the end of our hour together. Thank you two so much for being here today. Any final words for us going into the next month before we see you again?
No, we're listening to the energies. We've listened to you. We're listening to what everybody else says, and we're practicing listening already.
I think the task is simply to live in what comes to us. Just live it and
love it.
Not try to overthink it. And as you just said, just love it because it's what we will experience.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it. So you guys have the websites where you can go and get your own Pleiadian Earth energy calendars. You have the website where Pia will be posting up the Vimeo videos for the different signs, right? That's what you were doing.
It's what included in one of the videos. It's listed underneath what's in there. So okay. People will find it.
Awesome. Awesome. So again, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget, if you're out there, hit the thumbs up sign. If you like the video, if you're on Facebook, hit the like and share the video with your friends and your networks. Don't forget, if you are part of my Astro Design community, today at noon p.m. Pacific time is the Astro Design meetup. Bring your chart, bring your questions, and I might even delve into some galactic astrology today for all of you. So see you at noon there. The link is on my Living Astrology Facebook page. Much love to all of you. Mwah. Thank you, Pia and Colin. See you all on Monday. Bye for now. Happy Easter, everybody. I forgot about that too. Take care.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.